Okay. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You know, we heard a very, very, very difficult story this morning in John's death. You know, we see power used at its worst. Power that's used to destroy the life of the other. I don't know if this still goes on in corporations today, but years ago when I would be sitting in the boardroom and someone was made to look bad by someone else, this used to be said: by the end of that day, I'm going to have his head on a silver platter. Have you ever heard that in corporate? Yeah, it's pretty scary, isn't it? Yeah, it's a frightening thing, because we knew exactly what that meant. Today, I'm not so sure if it's used as much because of the recent beheadings that have been going on, yes, in the world. How about this one? How about, it's up to the powers that be. Have you heard that one? Right? So we kind of throw our hands up. It's that vague group, the powers that be. Who are these powers that be? Did you get into the school that you wanted to get into? I don't know yet. I'm still waiting. It's up to the powers that be. We don't always like to be associated with power, do we? Not when it's used in such a negative way. Not when it's used like as a means of controlling, of a means of dominating, as a means that would be a lack of freedom. We've heard it used in hockey, right? A power play. What does that mean when there's a power play? It means that a member of the other team is in the penalty box, and so your team may have more players and have that chance to dominate, to score a goal. Because it's all about winning, isn't it? It's all about being right, isn't it? It's all about, no matter what the cost may be. And we see that so much on television now, don't we? Everything is about winning, dominating, and having power to force others to do things that they may not want to do. Well, I want you to think about power at its simplest form. Power is the ability to influence another. That's what power is. It's the ability to have influence over the other person. Now, how we use that power is a different thing. So how it's going to be perceived is going to be based on how we're using the power. And how do we decide how we're going to use our power? Believe it or not, that decision comes from where your source of power comes from. That's how you'll decide how you're going to use your power. It's where you're grounded. What is your power source? And it's pretty basic. Your power source can be being fearless or being unfearless, if that's such a word. Being selfish or being unselfish. Being unloving versus being loving. Let's take a look at our story today. Not a pretty story, is it? I mean, we have some basic players in the story. We have King Herod. It's the son of King Herod the Great. His name was Antipas. We have his wife, Herodias, who, by the way, was married before to Philip. Now, Philip, it's not like Philip died. It's just, we'll get into that. And then you have the daughter who's not named here, but we hear in the other Gospels that her name is Salome. And then we have John the Baptist. John's in prison. John has been put in prison because of him speaking out against what Herod has done, that Herod has married his brother's wife. And so, for some reason, he obviously feels he's got to put Herod in prison. He's got to stop this talking that's going on. But for some reason, Herod keeps him around. It's almost like a love-hate relationship, if you think about it. He holds, he keeps him. He listens to him. There's something going on here. Because John the Baptist is the last prophet who comes before Jesus, the last one who was sent by God. And now we have Herodias, who clearly does not like John, because, you see, she had an affair with her brother-in-law and married him. And John's just going about town saying, this is wrong. The king of our people, the king of the Jews, is wrong. He's absolutely committing wrong and a sin. It's wrong. And then we have Salome. If you look at the character or the person of Salome, you can see that she is a young girl who clearly wants to be liked. She wants attention. She wants love. This is not about the dance that she does. It's about her wanting acceptance and to be liked. She wants love. So, each of these are in a position of influencing the outcome. Yet each of these used their power depending upon or based on their power source. Salome was that she had fear that perhaps her mother might not love her or might not like her if she didn't go along with her mother's plan. Herodias, fear that basically people were going to continue to mock her, belittle her. She's the queen, for goodness sake. And then you've got Herod, who had incredible fear that he would lose the trust of the people, or more importantly, maybe not the trust, that he would lose faith if he all of a sudden went back on what it was that he said. And then we have John, whose purpose is to be a prophet. The source of the power of these three people came from self-preservation. We act in the same way. Whether we want to admit it, whether it goes to an extreme like this, we act in the same way. We focus on ourselves, on our self-preservation, on how we are going to look, on being liked, on being the one who has control. There's a bigger story that's here. This story, which, by the way, is throughout the entire Bible of people using their power in ways that hurt the other, this story is wrapped around a bigger story. And that bigger story is Jesus sending the disciples out to preach the good news, to prepare the people for something different that's about to come. Because at the very end of this story, which we're going to hear next week, right at the end of this story, we pick up with the disciples coming back. So this entire story is wrapped around something that's even bigger, something that's even greater. It's not fear. It's love. It's God's love in power. Jesus Christ. God is indeed doing something brand new in Christ. Not just 2,000 years ago, but today on this very day. Because Jesus is alive and Jesus is present with us. Jesus knew who his power source was. Jesus was God incarnate. Jesus knew exactly where his power and his influence was coming from. It was coming from God. And even going to the cross and suffering, his power became manifest in weakness, not in the negative influence, in weakness. That's where we see God's power. That's where we see God's love. So I'm going to ask you a question. With all the events that are going on in the world, I want you to think about where the power source is for some of these people. What's the source of power for the young man who entered into a church? The other sat with them, had Bible study with them. What was the source of power for that young man's actions when he sat with the other? Was it fear? Was it self? Or was it love? Where was the source of power for Reverend Clement Pinckney when he welcomed the other into his midst, into the midst of the people in that Bible study? What was the source of his power? Was it fear, or was it grounded in love, unconditional love in Christ? What is the source of power for some of our politicians and leaders today? And I'm going to say Donald Trump. What is the source of power there, where he makes these statements as if they're actual truth? Even if they were true, where is his source of power? Is that grounded in fear and self-preservation, or is that grounded in unconditional love? Where is the source of power for our Supreme Court judges of the United States of America, of these United States of America, when they make a decision that benefits the other? Is that decision grounded in fear and self-preservation, or is it grounded in unconditional love? These are not easy times. But we have to stay focused on who and what, where we are grounded. Where is our source of power? Where is our source of strength? Many will look at the Bible and say, that's a book of rules. We look at the Bible and we say, that's a book of faith. God's faith, God's unconditional love, that no matter how many times we mess up, and guess what? We mess up. All of us mess up. No matter how many times we mess up, God continues to say, come, child, come. I love you. I love you. I love you. You are mine. I want to be in relationship with you forever. And this is what I ask you to do. I ask you to love me and to love unconditionally the other. Take some time this week and think about, where is your source of power? Is it grounded in the unconditional love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, who extends that not to just us, but to everyone? Or is it grounded in fear and self-preservation? Because where your true source of power is, that is where your action will be. That is where your words will be spoken or not spoken, by the way. Silence is also very much, sometimes even louder than words. Is your actions, your behaviors, or your non-actions grounded in unconditional love or self-preservation? Take time this week to think about that. Amen.